Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
And I bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, our warner, leader, teacher, guide, and Messiah in our midst. And it is my great honor and distinguished pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to welcome everyone, wow, back to Conscious Black Nation. And our topic tonight is the true history of Jesus. And who else better to bring us this timely topic and expound on it than our beloved host and brother and Vice President of Nation Building Movement Network out of St. Louis, Missouri, Brother Kareem N. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen of Reason. How are you this evening?
Blessed by Allah's grace and permission and happy to be here, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. I'm happy to be here as well and happy to have you here with me. As always, I thank you once again for this opportunity to serve Allah in this manner. You know, I mean, because this is what it's about. As we've discussed in the past, if we're not serving, then what's our purpose?
That's right.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Well, I want to open, as always, in the correct manner, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed, I'll say it again, his last and greatest messenger. We have to understand the context. Because he himself said, after me comes God. So we have to understand that. I also, in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, indeed our divine reminder, he who wears the mantle of Masih or Messiah in our midst, an example of what Jesus does. I greet everyone in the listening audience, you again, Queen Aziza, and our families. With the greeting words of peace and paradise, we say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And please forgive my voice. All of a sudden it got a little scraggly, but that's all right. We're going to persevere. And before we get off into our topic, my dear brother, Brother Reginald, is with us, so I'd like you to present yourself, brother, then we're going to get right into this.
Okay, yes, sir. Of course, I thank you, beloved brother, for having me on your show, and I thank you for also inviting me, Sister Queen Aziza. And I thank you all very much, and I'm grateful to Almighty God Allah for the opportunity to serve him as well in this manner and in this capacity. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who intervened in our affairs, the black man and woman, in the wilderness of North America, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I further thank Allah, Almighty God Allah, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, for raising up one among us to lead, teach, and guide us, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ. I further bear witness and thank Almighty God Allah for training one from the seed of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder, our divine comforter, and our divine warner. It is in their three names that I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Shalom, wa salam, wa alaikum. And thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, yes. All right. Our topic tonight.
Brother Kareem, before we get started, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want us to take a moment to keep our dear brother Jihad Hassan Muhammad out of Mosque Number 48 in Dallas, Texas. His wife, Sister Hasika, transitioned on yesterday. A very young woman, a very new marriage for brother Hassan and her. I think they've been married less than a year. And also brother Nathaniel Muhammad out of Mosque Number 7 in New York. also made his transition on yesterday. So I just want to ask our listening audience and, of course, everyone here to please keep those families in your prayers as they endure this most difficult time. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah, and I know I certainly will, and I'm sure everyone that is participating and listening will certainly will. Particularly for me, Brother Jahai is a very dear friend of mine. I spoke with him yesterday. And,
yes, sir.
You know, he's holding up. You know, he's now, I mean, he already had a family, but now he now has additional children. So, yes, we definitely want to, you know, pray, keep them in our thoughts. Also, something else we have to do is out of this quote-unquote love that we say we have for one another, we also have to reach out and be of support. We got to put it into action, you know. And so, yes, ma'am, absolutely. And Brother Nathaniel as well. Praise
yes, sir.
So our topic tonight, right in line, is the true history of Jesus. Because there's been a lot of talk about Jesus of late among the members of the Nation of Islam. I mean, we've always talked about him, but of late there's a lot of talk. Also, it's being put forth more and more the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Jesus of Scripture in our midst today. So we need to understand, all of us, and I know many of our listening audience are not necessarily Muslims or even members of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, according to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. However, this is vital information that we all need to have so that we can make a decision today and see how to be rightly guided. But as always, we want to lay our foundation coming from the Scripture. I'm going to start with the Holy Quran, Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. We want to go to surah or chapter number 3, starting in ayah or verse number 45. We seek refuge in Allah God against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah states in the Quran, when the angel said, O Mary, surely Allah gives thee good news with a word from him of one whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, worthy of regard in this world and the hereafter, and of those who are drawn nigh to Allah. And he will speak to the people when in the cradle and when of old age, and he will be one of the good ones. She said, my Lord, how can I have a son, and man has not yet touched me? He said, even so, Allah creates what he pleases when he decrees a matter. He only says to it be, and it is. And he will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord that I determined for you out of dust the form of a bird, and I breathe into it, and it becomes a bird with Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leprous, and bring the dead to life with Allah's permission. And I inform you of what you should eat and what you should store in your houses. Surely there is a sign in this for you if you are believers. Secondly, we want to go to chapter or surah 19 in the Holy Quran, starting in ayah or verse 16, in where Allah states, and mention Mary in the book when she drew aside from her family to an eastern place. So she screened herself from them Then we sent to her our spirit, and it appeared to her as a well-made man. She said, I flee for refuge from thee to the beneficent, if thou art one guarding against evil. He said, I am only a bearer of a message of thy Lord, that I will give thee a pure boy. She said, how can I have a son, and no mortal has yet touched me, nor have I been unchaste? He said, so it will be. Thy Lord says, it is easy to me, and that we may make him a sign to men and a mercy from us, and it is a matter decreed. Then she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place, and the throes of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, oh, would that I had died before this and had been a thing quite forgotten. So a voice came to her from beneath her, grieve not, surely thy Lord has provided a stream beneath thee. Sadaqallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. Now, for those who are not familiar with the Quran, pick up your Bible and go to chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy, starting in verse 15, wherein it states, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Then Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, wherein it states, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And finally, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, starting in verse 3, wherein it states, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, speaking of Jesus now, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, period. For many shall come in my name, comma, saying, comma, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right, now that we've laid our scriptural base and our foundation, where we're going to be coming from is it's a small book. It's a book that anyone, no matter what your religious persuasion or your particular faith expression is, that you should get. As a matter of fact, you should get all the books by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the books by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But this particular book is a small book, won't take you long to read. It's entitled The True History of Jesus, Birth, Death, and What It Means to You and Me, written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. As a matter of fact, what it is, it's a compilation of articles that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began teaching back in 1957. So before we get to any questions, let's go and see what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to say. Article number 1, July the 20th, 1957. It reads, Islam, the true religion, the so-called Negro salvation, the history of Jesus, birth, death, and what it means to you and me. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, I won't be able to give a complete knowledge in one article. It will take a series of articles to tell of all the prophets of God who are recorded in the Bible and Holy Quran Sharif. None is more controversial than the history of Jesus, and none is more misunderstood. This misunderstanding, nearly 100% among the so-called Negroes in the USA, is due to their following and believing what their enemies the devils have taught and written concerning Jesus' birth and death. I do believe that if my poor, blind, deaf, and dumb people could be taught the truth of the true history of Jesus, they would awaken at once. Some of the so-called Negroes, leaders, preachers, are dumber to what the knowledge of Jesus' birth, life, and death means than those who are following him. And for the sake of being called a leader, preacher, I'm going to say minister, we'll get into that later, they are proud against the truth, and they will oppose it, fearing the loss of their office, thus leading themselves and their followers to hell with the devils because of their blindness, love, and fear of the devils. I will teach you the truth as I have received it from him who is the author of truth, regardless of whom or what. For I speak not of myself. I too was once blind, deaf, and dumb, but I speak and write that which I have received from him, Allah, and on him do I rely. Now that having been said, I'm going to come to you first, Brother Reginald.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And before I do ask this first question, I want to remind the listening audience, this is audience participation. This is we. So we would love to have you who are on the phone. We know we're going to get questions out of the chat rooms, but we would love to have you that are on the phone to participate. Lend your voice, not just your ear. Because we learn from you as well. Now, Brother Reginald, our first question is this. Who is Jesus?
Wow. Thank you for the question, beloved. And let me say this, too, before I start. One reason why I love you, beloved, is because when I hear you teach, I'm really not listening to Brother Kareem. It seems like I'm listening to God Jesus teach, you know what I'm saying, in person. You know, I mean, I'm just eating everything that you're saying, and it's just so much wisdom in what you're saying and so much truth, you know. And I just thank God for you for being a manifestation of man, you know, not just a servant, but a Jesus, because we're dealing with the true history of Jesus here. So, you know, Jesus said we'll do even greater things to him. So, brother, I just want to let you know from the bottom of my heart that I'm honored to be in your presence by voice. I really am. I really am. It has truly affected me. Now, dealing with who is Jesus? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that there are four Jesuses. One is the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's the first one. The second, he said, was the Messiah. The third one, he said, was the Mahdi, or Mahdi. The fourth one, he said, was also the first one, but the fourth one is Christ himself, or God. So this is what the minister teaches us, four Jesuses. He says really five, but he never got to teaching on who that fifth Jesus was. But he gave us the four, and he taught us about two lecture series about the four Jesuses. So there are four or five, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So if we consider that there's four or five, and we know that each Jesus said you can do even greater things than me, then as servants and true followers of those four or five Jesuses, as helpers, as followers, as being their examples, their representatives in the proper true and light form, because see, they are lights. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So what we have now on the scene here is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he doesn't have to say he's the light of the world. His believers, non-believers, his followers, they don't have to say he's the light of the world, because you know what? Look at what his works have produced, and look at what his works created. He can go all over the world, and he is welcomed as royalty wherever he go in the world. Because that light in him, that light. And that's an example of Jesus. That's an example of Jesus. So we all should be striving to be a Jesus, not the Jesus, but striving to be a Jesus. Because Jesus only came to manifest himself in perfecting his Father's will. So if he came to do that, then he didn't come just to make disciples. He came to make much deeper than disciples. He came to make little Jesuses or Jesuses. You know, Master Farad Muhammad, when he came to America and found us, he called us his uncles. You know, because that happens to be one of the Jesuses, in case there's any misconception. That's who Master Farad Muhammad was. He was one of the Jesuses, Allah in person, the Mahdi, self-guided. In the dark of the night, I don't like to say thief of the night, because that's a negative attribution. So in the dark of the night, he did that. He was a Jesus. And then what he taught, he built off of the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, what the Jesus of 2,000 years ago taught, and perfected what the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, who was born in due season, which means out of season, because he couldn't bring his assignment and his mission to fruition. But then came Master W. Farad Muhammad, the third Jesus. And then he produced the fourth Jesus, the Messiah, the exalted Christ. And the exalted Christ, we all know, the fifth Jesus, who that is. And because, of course, the fifth Jesus never in the Bible of 2,000 years ago told you who he was. He gave you certain attributes and certain characters, but he never told you that he was Jesus the Christ. So I'm going to leave it right there, because I don't want to be long-winded on your show. But, yes, that is who Jesus is. Jesus is a combination of five men, five great men. That's why we you know, that's the Star David, that Star David. That's the Star of Islam. But I just leave it at that. And thank you for the question, beloved. I hope I answered it appropriately by Allah's will and Allah's grace. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Allah. And I just want to say, you know, what you said, because we have to learn to accept accolades or compliments. We have to learn to accept them graciously. And I thank you for what you said, brother. I do have to say, all praise is due to Allah, for were it not for Allah,
that's right,
I would be nothing, absolutely nothing. And I want to go on record on the air. If it were not for Allah, okay, if it were not for the exalted Christ, who is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad,
that's right,
coming through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
Ooh, some Lord have mercy. I can't remember the year right now, but coming through him some years ago, at least 20-some-odd years ago or more.
I bear witness. That's
right. I
wouldn't
be here now to serve. So that the praise indeed always belongs to Almighty God Allah. And I'll say this. Yes, you are correct. I mean, the thing we have to understand is that there was a Jesus 2,000 years ago, yes. However, as it tells us in the Quran, he is a sign. Him and his mother, both Mary and Jesus, are a sign. And we understand that when we see what you look up the definition of a sign is not the actual thing, but the sign points you toward that which you are actually searching for or looking for. It points you to your destination. That's what a sign does. Jesus is in what's called an archetype. In other words, he's a model. So, Queen Aziza, I know you're on the board,
yes,
and you're busy.
Yes, yes, sir, I'm here.
I know you're on the board and you're busy. That's why I know I got to give you a minute to get back to me. I also, because you know I'm about balance now.
Mm-hmm.
See, and getting into this true history of Jesus. See, we need to, because when we wrap this up, we're going to, as always on Nation Dear to Movement, we want to leave the people with something they can take away and use in their everyday life. So I want to ask you. No, I'm not. I want to ask you, who is Jesus? Your view, just your view, however short and long, however you want to make it.
Well, how can I put it? I'm not going to get off into the scriptural basis of it because
right.
there's so much misconception of
right.
how Jesus is represented in the Bible. But let me just briefly say that Jesus came as really a mercy and a grace to the Jews of that time who called themselves Jews to give them an opportunity to turn their foolish behavior around or turn from their wicked ways, so to speak. But the essence of Jesus and
mm-hmm.
what he demonstrated in his life, in his 33-plus years or whatever it was, it is the example or the sign, as you said, Brother Reginald, Brother Kareem, the sign, the example of obedience to Allah, irregardless of the circumstances. Jesus, in my opinion, was the perfect example of who we should follow when we say we believe. So no matter the opposition, Jesus stood on his square and practiced his faith. And to me, Jesus is that perfect example that you would give your life
come on.
Before you turn heels on your faith, on your God. And so that is the purpose of Jesus. A lot of people say Jesus died for our sins. Well, I beg to differ. Because if Jesus paid it all, then why do you have a cross to bear?
Come on.
That is not the truth. Jesus came to be an example. All
Amen.
Of the other prophets before Jesus did not necessarily come through or, can I say, was birthed into existence for that purpose, but Allah God chose them to do a specific work at a specific time in their lives. But Jesus was born, and from the womb was commanded or created for the purpose of to be that example, to walk that fine line of righteousness and truth and freedom, justice and equality from the womb to the tomb.
Come
and
on.
So it is that full servant, it is that degree of obedience that Jesus came to be an example. And even with when you're faced with death, you do not denounce your God. So that's
right.
who Jesus it was of 2,000 years ago, was it was, in my opinion, Brother Craig.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Thank you. All right, now, so we're going to return to the text of the book, The True History of Jesus, wherein the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, he says, note, well, I'm going to read the verse. He says, when the angel said, O Mary, surely Allah gives you good news with a word from him of one whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, worthy of regards in this world and the hereafter. He states, note, in the verse above, Jesus is called, according to Arabic transliteration, Al-Masih, Isa Ibn Miriam, meaning in English, the Messiah, son of Mary. Masih, says the commentator of the language, means either one who travels much or one wiped over with some such thing as oil, the same word as the Aramaic Messiah, which is said to mean the anointed. If the name means one who travels much, it could not refer to the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, who spent his life in the small state called Palestine. One of the main things that one must learn is to distinguish between the history of Jesus 2,000 years ago and the prophecy of Jesus 2,000 years ago. This often proves, now listen to his language, this often proves to be that of the great Mahdi, the restorer of the kingdom of peace on earth, who came to America in 1930 under the name of Mr. W.D. Farad. Later he admitted he was Mr. Wallace Farad Muhammad, the one whom the world had been looking for to come for the past 2,000 years. According to the Holy Quran's chapter and verse that we have under discussion, the name Messiah, the meaning fits that of the Mahdi more than any other man. Notice, I'm going to say that again, that we have, it says, the name Messiah, the meaning fits that of the Mahdi more than any other man. The Mahdi is a world traveler. He told me that he had traveled the world over and that he had visited North America for 20 years before making himself known to us, his people whom he came for. He had visited the Isles of the Pacific, Japan and China, Canada, Alaska, the North Pole, India, Pakistan, all of the Near East and Africa. He had studied the wildlife in the jungles of Africa and learned the language of the birds. He could speak 16 languages and could write 10 of them. He visited every inhabited place on the earth and had pictured and extracted the language of the people on Mars and had a knowledge of all life in the universe. He could recite by heart the histories of the world as far back as 150,000 years and knew the beginning and ending of all things. The name Christ, Jesus, Jehovah, God, Allah, and many other good names rightly are his names, and he came to give divine names to the whole of the 17 million so-called Negroes. Jesus was made an example for the Jews. Holy Quran 43:59, Jesus and his mother were made as a sign, and that's Holy Quran 23:50. Now that we have shared that aspect of it, I'm getting ready to come to you again, Brother Reginald. And even though you've touched on this somewhat, I want you to expand on it. The question is this: why so much talk and controversy over the life of one man?
Praises be to Allah. Thank you for the question, beloved. And I pray that Almighty God, Allah, will give me the correct answer to display and use me as a vessel. You say, why all of this over this one man? Is that what you the question was in context, sir?
Yes, sir. That's what the context is. I mean, you know, there's so much talk back and forth.
Right.
Some who deny, some who set him up and say he's the only way, he's the door. Then you got those who say, oh, well, he was just a man, it don't matter. And, I mean, you know, so why? I mean, why not this kind of controversy over Moses? Why not this kind of controversy over Isaiah or Jeremiah?
Well, since we know that God is not the author of confusion,
we got to
find the culprit in this. You know, that's the best way I see it. You know, as a student of the art of war, we got to find the culprit. You know, in this war, to have our people so reared up and confused about the true history of Jesus, the most important man to ever walk the earth, but we make no distinction among men. So now you deal with that. But suffice that to say, to answer your question, we have to deal with the culprit. And the culprit was the lie. The lie of how Jesus' true life was. The lie, the interpretation of it. And not only the lie, but the death. And not only the death, but the resurrection. And not only the resurrection, but the actual image. The actual image destroyed the work that the Jesus of 2,000 years ago had in mind to be an eternal work that he could carry on and on and on. So it had to be somebody else come and perfect that. But we wouldn't know that he was coming in sinful flesh because we too got lost in color. You know, we got real, a lot of us, you know, real conscious now and real Pan-Africanist, and Jesus was a black man and why and whatever. But even if Jesus was a black man, and he is, even if he was a black man, what if he was your brother? And you've been looking at him every day. So we can't get caught up on this color thing because it is a brother named Jesus in your midst today. But you don't, you're still looking when the Jesus that we believe in told us the kingdom of God is within us. So that's the first place we should look for Jesus is within us, because when we look for that Jesus within us, then it'll point us to the manifestation of himself in man or woman. Make no distinction. So it's all of this fuss because white supremacy and also black supremacy, which God is the only supreme, has been the poison of Jesus. See, because Jesus didn't come to the end Jesus, he's not coming to just come to a certain tribe, a certain group of people, because if you read on in this book, which I have placed in the chat room, I bought the book today, Brother Kareem, because you gave that instruction last week on your show. Go read that book. So I bought it today via Kindle, and I paid for it, and I put it on the on different websites, I mean platforms that we use, and also I'm going to put it in our chat room so everybody can have that book.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, I just feel it's mandatory. So everybody can have that book. And if anybody need a copy of it, call Brother Kareem, excuse me, not me, call Brother Kareem or get in touch with him via Facebook, and he can get in touch with me and I will forward it over to him. Well, I'm already do that to you for you, Brother Kareem, so you can just forward it out. But,
praise
yeah.
It was, yes.
All praises
yes.
be to all. Yeah, it was so much, and so it's so much confusion, because just like Muhammad did not create the Shiites and the Sunni. He didn't create, he was none of that. Jesus didn't create the Baptists, first, third, fourth, fifth, and the Catholics and the Protestants and the Episcopalians. That was not Jesus' creation. That was man-made stuff. Jesus' job was building a church or a kingdom or a temple of God within. That's why he always say, look within. God is within you. That's why we can say I am the Father, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But because it was so much confusion, propaganda put forth by the Jews of that day, and really the Jews, that the so-called Jews who are really the synagogue of Satan, because they challenged the truth that was in the word, in the mouth, and the lips of Jesus, because they never wanted Jesus to even appear before them, because they know once Jesus appeared, that was the end of their establishment of wickedness. So they had to put him to death, but not according to the way we've been learned and interpreted. So there's confusion in the interpretations of the true history of Jesus. And if there's confusion in the interpretations, then once again it goes back to that old method that is used in elementary. Tell the first child one thing, and by the time they get to the 15th and 20th and get back to the sender, it's a whole different thing. So that creates, that's because it's confusion, not only in the message because it's been changed and interpreted so wrong, but it's confusion in the power of the message. So the message dies. But there's always grace and mercy from Almighty God Allah, and he sends another Jesus among the people. And when he sends that Jesus among the people, that clears, that person clears up the confusion about all those prior to him. And then there's another one come on the scene, the exalted Christ, and he clear up any confusion about the Jesus or the God that taught him. So, but it's going to be many people called to hear those clearing up and clearing the names of the greatest one that went before them. Because Master Farad Muhammad, he didn't say nobody came before him as to what he can drive off of. He knew all of them. He knew all of them. So he taught himself according to what all of the messengers and prophets of God revealed to humanity. And he devised a strategy, a plan. And he was Jesus in person. Also Allah in person, but Allah and Jesus wrapped all into one in person. And that's why has been so effective with the nation of Islam in particular. It's because he took a dead carcass. He took it and shaped it in the form of a dove and breathed air, gave it food, spiritual food, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discipline, principles, foods to eat, foods not to eat. See, all of this is Jesus, but it creates confusion because he ain't what you thought he was, and he don't look like how you think he was supposed to look. Because really we all sick with this color thing right now, because we keep thinking that we colored people. We not the colored person. That's the skunk. That's the race. That's the only race of this planet. And every race has a beginning and an end. So it don't matter what your color is, you can be a part of that Adamic race. And we can prove it over and over again, because that which created the Adamic race was a man of quote-unquote color. So whatever he created, he a part of, and they're a part of, all the ones that went to the island of Patmos. And those are the ones who came up with the man to defeat Jesus of yesterday and today. As a dare, they want to try to defeat the Jesus of the day. So there's so much confusion only because there's lies in the power that Satan has over this Jesus of today. So there's confusion amongst the people of Jesus because Satan know who Jesus is. We just not confused. The Caucasian knows who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is. That's why they can't touch him, because they know who he is. It's us that don't know who Jesus is. We're the ones that's confused. The Caucasian ain't confused. He ain't confused about Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan whatsoever. Because remember, the press used to be heavy at all his lectures. They got the hell out of that trick. They told him they didn't want his word to be spread everywhere. But thank Almighty God Allah for the internet and YouTube and webcasts. Because now we get to see who Jesus is, and hopefully to clear up the confusion, Brother Kareem, between our people, because the Caucasian, the Caucasoid race of people, of devils, it ain't even important to me if they know or not. But the fact remains that they do know. We don't. That's why we are in a state of, I think they call it an Islam Jabalia, confusion. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong about that, and forgive me, Allah, if I am, but we are in a state of confusion. The original Muslims, the aboriginal people, the pre-Adamites, Muslims, we're in a state of confusion. So we don't know Jesus, and we all claim to love him. So, you know, if we quit, come out of yesterday and come up to today, we'll be a lot better off, and the confusion it'll cease immediately. Thank you for the question, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for your answer, brother. You know, and I'm before we continue on, I just want to say this. With that question, you know, and I'm gonna read it again. The question is, why so much talk and controversy over the life of one man? We have to understand the importance of the man, the figure, Jesus. The reason, and as you just said, it's because of the lies that have been told. It's because of the misunderstanding of what has been presented. The why of it is because Jesus, the figure of Jesus, is so important to the coming in, the bringing in of the kingdom of Almighty God to both Muslims and Christians. He is a key and central figure. As a matter of fact, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brought us the Holy Quran, is not placed in the same regard as Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you read the Quran itself, it talks about the coming of the Mahdi, which is God in person, and the Messiah coming with him. So that shows you the position. Nobody else, even in the Quran, as far as the messengers and prophets of God, is called a sign. So that having been said, we're going to go back to the text of The True History of Jesus by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wherein he states, since the so-called Negro's knowledge of Jesus...
Beloved, excuse me, beloved, I didn't mean to interrupt, but could you, do you have a page or reference a page so we can probably follow along with you?
Let me see if it'll show me, because I'm doing this electronically. This is on page 5 of the copy I have. But this is the e-book I'm using. It's on page 5. As a matter of fact, it says, The Last Messenger, the new book.
Okay.
Article
right.
number 927, 1957.
Okay. Thank you, beloved.
Yes, sir. No problem. All praise is due to Allah. Okay. It states, you know, because I'm not reading the entire thing. He says, since the so-called Negroes' knowledge of Jesus came solely from the Bible, translated into English by the enemies of Jesus, they will not accept anything other than what the devils teach. Jesus and his mother assigned Holy Quran 2350. That is the best answer as yet given, for with such answer we have the key to this man's birth, ministry, and death. For that which serves as a sign is not the thing that it is a sign of, but only a sign of something to come or to be. As Moses' birth, history, and death, as given in the Bible and Quran, was a sign of what was to come. And I may add to the dislike of many Muslims, Muhammad's life and history was also a sign of that which was to come at the end of the world of the infidels, be it understood. He, who is the last of the prophets, was clearly seen and made known to those prophets before him. And their life work reflects for us the life and work of the last prophet, who is not really a prophet in the sense of the word, but rather an apostle or messenger. For he is the answer and end of the prophets. His call is unlike the others before him, for all of the prophets before the last one had their call and mission through inspirations and visions, for they saw not the person of Allah God in reality, only in vision. But the last one is chosen and missioned directly from the mouth of Allah God in person at the end of the world. I'm going to stop right there and say this. You notice we read earlier from the Holy Quran, starting in chapter or surah 3. We read these words. It said, When the angel said, O Mary, surely Allah gives thee good news with a word from him of one whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, worthy of regard in this world and the hereafter, and of those who are drawn nigh to Allah. Listen to these words, and he will speak to the people when in the cradle and when of old age, and he will be one of the good ones. We're going to stop right there. In the Quran, this could not be speaking of our brother Isin ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary, of 2,000 years ago, because, and it's going, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is going to get into the true history of his death in the book. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it. We're going to end up having to do a part two, but I don't mind, because this is vital. It couldn't have been him because, according to some accounts, he died at 33. Other accounts say he died at 36. So he couldn't have spoken to the people when he was of old age, since he died in his 30s. Ayat of verse 47 says, she said, my Lord, how can I have a son? And the man has not yet touched me. He said, even so, Allah creates what he pleases. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it be, and it is. Now, when you get to verse 48, notice the statement. And he being Allah himself, God in person, will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. According to the commentator, the book, Al-Quran, Quran is called Al-Kitab, the book. It's also called the wisdom. Then it says the Torah and the gospel. Well, the Torah, quote-unquote, is the Old Testament. Some say it's the first five books or the Pentateuch of the Old Testament or the books of Moses. Others say that the Torah is the entire Old Testament. And the gospel, we know what the gospel is. In Arabic, it's called the Injil. The gospel is the words of Jesus, and then you have what's called the New Testament, which are the words of his disciples, quote unquote. So again, this couldn't be talking about the man 2,000 years ago, simply because the book, Al-Kitab, wasn't in existence. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came after Jesus of 2,000 years ago. Let us think. As the minister often says, put on our thinking caps. You know, put on your scuba gear, because, yeah, we're going to go deep. And the Torah and the gospel, well, we know the Torah existed, but the gospel are his own teachings. So why would God have to teach him what he'd already presented him with? So we have to think here. But again, like I say, this is from the Quran. And we're going to get to information for those who are not familiar with the Quran. Now, what you said, Brother Reginald, here in it states in verse or ayat 49, it says that, and this is Allah speaking, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel. Well, the minister did a lecture, or actually several lecture series, telling us who the real children of Israel are. He says, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, that I determine for you out of dust the form of a bird, that I breathe into it, and it becomes a bird with Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leprous, and bring the dead to life with Allah's permission. And I inform you of what you should eat and what you should store in your houses. Surely there is a sign in this for those, for you, if you are believers. SubhanAllah. Forgive me. Again, this couldn't be the man, Jesus, of 2,000 years ago, because nowhere in any scripture either Quran or Bible, does Jesus of 2,000 years ago talk to us about what we should store in our houses? He doesn't go into a diatribe about what we should eat. He simply makes a statement, he makes a statement according to the Bible that the law, the Mosaic law as it's called, was still in full effect when he makes this statement. Think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He says not one jot, that means not one word, not one letter, not one tittle, that means not one punctuation mark, shall pass from the law until the kingdom of God is established. Well, it's not established yet. That means the law is still in force. All of the law, including the dietary law. So now, having said that, and let me move on here. All right, brother. Here's the third question. Was Jesus of 2,000 years ago the Christ?
Was Jesus of 2,000 years ago the Christ? Well, according to Paul, and thank you for the question, beloved. According to Paul, Paul said, Jesus was a man. Because if it wasn't for Paul, we got to keep remember this. If it wasn't for Paul, a lot of what we know about Jesus may not have come to be as universally known if had it not been for Paul at this particular time. It would have manifested, but Paul was a key catalyst to manifesting the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. But he said that Jesus was a man born out of due season. Now, what did Paul mean by a man born out of due season? If you think about what Jesus wanted to bring to the earth, which was the kingdom of God on earth, that was his desire. That was his desire. Now, listen to why I said his desire. It was his desire. Because, remember, he had his desire. He was perfect in his submission to the Father's will. But at times, he had his own desires. You know, so, you know, at times he was saying, remove this cup from me, you know, not my will, I changed my mind, I ain't going to do it my way, I'm going to do it your way, Father. But Jesus, according to the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Jesus was too soon to defeat the system of Satan. Because when Jesus, before Jesus' death, the world of Satan was still in full swing and in full effect. So Jesus was not the Christ. See, the Christ means, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one anointed with the power to crush the wicked. So Jesus of 2,000 years ago didn't quite fulfill that anointing. He didn't quite have the anointing to crush the wicked or Satan's wicked system of things, because after Jesus died, Satan's wicked system of things continue, and to this day are continuing. So when we see the Christ come, you will know that Satan's world will be toppled in less than 12 hours, according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In the magnitude of what those wheels coming off of that mothership is going to do. That's how you know Christ is present. So that the Jesus of 2,000 years ago was not the Christ. The Jesus of 2,000 years ago was pointing to the Christ coming. All of them are pointing to. All of Jesus are signs to the Christ, which in essence is the manifestation of God in human being form. Because he creates a Christ to save humanity and puts him at his right hand and exalts him and elevates him for being a faithful message of his word, a messenger of his word. And he lets him exercise judgment. He lets him He lets them kill. He let them destroy. He let them destruct. He let them judge. That's what the Christ does. See, when that Christ comes on the scene, or returns back on the scene, I should say, physically. I ain't talking about no spookism here. I'm talking about physically, people are going to see that exalted Christ on the scene then, but you're not going to have to wonder no more who is Christ. That doubt will be removed immediately with the presence of Christ. It will be removed immediately. It won't be no thoughts of negativity in within a 50-mile radius when this Christ comes on the scene. And it's nothing but the return of one of those Jesuses, or all five of them wrapped in one. Thank you for the question, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. And Queen Aziza, pardon me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Do we have any comments, questions?
Well, we have some questions on the phone, but they hung up.
Oh, well, I apologize.
Okay. Jocelyn in the chat room says, I'm not getting what you are trying to say, as if Jesus was merely a man.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful question.
So she said, I'm not getting, I want to be clear about what she said, or the statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said she's not getting what we're saying. She said, and then her next comment was, as if Jesus was merely a man.
Oh, well,
I,
yes, ma'am.
You want me to answer that?
Well, again, I want to say this. This is why it's so important. You see, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we just read from the book, The True History of Jesus, and wherein he states that our people, meaning us black folks, the knowledge or the information about Jesus that we have received or that we have been taught came to us. I'm gonna say it in my words. It came to us from our former slave masters, and it is now being repeated by the children of our former slave masters. And we have to understand something. Here is a people that went into what we call Africa and kidnapped our ancestors, brought them 9,000 miles, took a proud and intelligent people and reduced us to the level of beasts and savages in our thinking and in our behavior, treated us, gave us the worst, not some of, but the worst treatment of any people for 300, and if I'm mistaken, correct me, but 376 years we were in chattel slavery. Then once, what's his name? Lincoln? That was him, yeah. Once he made this quote-unquote Emancipation Proclamation, and they turned us loose, after having been trained and taught to be other than a human being for 376 years, they didn't bring any counselors in. They didn't bring any psychologists or psychiatrists in. We didn't get any therapy. We were just told, oh, you're free. Go for yourself. So after having been traumatized for over three centuries, we were just let loose. Many sit here right now today, and I'm not making excuses for anyone, but many of us sit here right now today. I see it all over Facebook. I still hear it, and I hear sisters talking about how doggish the man is, and they just make babies and leave the mothers. Well, I'm not saying it's right, and it's not right. They need to take responsibility for that which Allah has had them produce, or he is produced through them. However, when you take a man and his ancestors were trained to do that for 376 years. They would take the man and breed him with as many women as they could to get more livestock, more slaves. So this went on for 376 years. So this has become ingrained in his very thinking, in his DNA. And then you just turn him loose with no training? Well, of course, he going to pass that type of thinking, that type of spirit, that type of mind, if you will, on to his progeny, to his sons. I'm saying that to make a point. The thing is so if these people who never treated us right then and they don't treat us right today, I'm going to use one of the best examples, the most popular examples of the day, Trayvon Martin. So if they don't treat us right, what makes us think they have ever taught us right? So since all the information we have on Jesus, the man, has come from our former slave masters and their children, why would we even think that it's correct? I mean, I'm asking a question. Why would we even think it's correct? And on that note, now we're going to go back to the text of the book, the true history of Jesus. Matter of fact, before we do that, let's clear or define some words. The word true is defined as steadfast, loyal, honest, just, truthful, being in accordance with the actual state of affairs, accurate, conformable to an essential reality, being that which is the case, rather than what is assumed, legitimate, real. History is described or defined as tale, T-A-L-E, story, a chronological record of significant events affecting a nation or institution, including an explanation of their causes, an established record. I looked up Jesus. It said, the Jewish religious teacher whose life, death, and resurrection, as reported by the evangelists, are the basis of the Christian message of salvation. And as you shared with us, Brother Reginald, the definition of Christ is crusher or destroyer of the wicked, from the Greek Christos, from the Latin Christas, from the Sanskrit Krishna. Go check it out for yourself. Now, that having been said, let's get back to the text. In the text, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, we know that most all white men folk love to insult the black women. It is the nature of that race to destroy the black. So he told his daughter Mary, when he went out to care for the stock, to wear his clothes and made her a beard out of a goat's beard, to wear so that the filthy thinking devils would think that it was he, the father of Mary. Now, what we are talking about here is now how Jesus was produced. After giving his daughter, Mary, this is Mary's father who is doing this, after giving his daughter his instructions on how to protect herself against the insults of the devil while he was visiting the new construction of a mosque, he took leave of the home for 3 days. After the father's departure, just at the time to feed the stock, there arose a great dust storm, dust cloud, which blotted out visibility. Under this darkness, she became afraid to venture out. So while thinking of how the stock would be fed, she thought of Yusuf, Joseph, the only man that she could trust and the only one she ever loved. She called him to come and go with her to feed her father's stock. Joseph came in answer to her call. On his arrival at the home of Mary, she showed him the old man's clothing and the goat's beard that she was to wear in her father's absence. But Joseph suggested to Mary to allow him to wear her father's clothes and the goat beard, and that she wear her own clothes as usual, so that the infidels would think that he, Joseph, was the old man, Mary's father. So Joseph and Mary went together from that day on until the return of the old man 3 days later. Mary asked Joseph to return after the first day, and on the second day she asked Joseph, "What about your wife, and what will she think of your coming here?" Joseph said, "I will tell her that I am working, building an infidel a house, as he, Joseph, was a carpenter." Mary said, "What if your wife says to you, 'Where is the money?'" This question Joseph had no answer for. So Mary gave Joseph some money to carry home with him just in case. On the third day, the old man returned. About 3 months later, he began to notice his daughter taking on weight. He asked her, "Mary, what have you been eating? You seem to be taking on weight." She denied that there had been any change in her eating. The old man, her father, went on for a while and became very suspicious as he kept noticing Mary continued increasing weight. Again, he said to Mary, "What has happened?" Mary denied not and said, "Father, do you remember when you left home to go to the building of the new mosque?" The father said, "Yes." She said, "Well, on that day when you left, a dust cloud arose and there was darkness. I was afraid to go out in such darkness to feed the stock, so I called Joseph to go with me. So he came and he did go with me that day and helped feed the stock, and also the next day until you came home." Her father said, "Yes, it looks like he fed them plenty." And she said, "And this is why I am like this. I told you that I love Joseph. And while alone together, this is what happened. Now I have told you the truth. You may kill me or do as you please." Now I'm going to stop right there. Now I know for those of you who are not familiar with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that may come as a shock to you. Because the enemy has taken Jesus and lifted him up and turned him into something unreal. He has a reason for this, but he's made him unreal. When you make Jesus, when you make the Christ unreal, then he's unattainable. And that's not his teachings, even according to the Bible. But now, to back up what my brother has said, and also our asking of the question, was Jesus of 2,000 years ago the Christ? Let us go to the Bible. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that there were three things that we had to have to be successful, absolutely. One was that we had to master mathematics. He didn't say learn it, he said we have to master it. He then said that we must have a comprehensive understanding of history. We must know history, true history. Then he said we must have a command. Again, not just learn it, we must have a command of the English language. I mean, we got to know what this language that we're using means. So in the English language, according to the book, the words in red are Jesus' words. We read it at the top of the show. Chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, starting in the third verse, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?' And Jesus answered and said unto them," listen to what I'm about to say, as I read this and I'm going to break it down. Again, let me start. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Take heed that no man deceive you,'" period. This is a command that he's giving. It's a statement. That's why there's a period at the end of the sentence. He's saying, take heed. Listen to me very carefully. And then follow my instructions is what he's saying. And he says, And I'm saying that to you so that no one who comes can deceive you, can trick you, can give you false information, and you begin to live your life according to it. Then he states and says, for many shall come in my name, comma. There's a comma there, there's a pause. He's letting you know, yes, that there are going to come many individuals in his name, meaning saying that they are authorized by him, that what they're telling you is authorized by Jesus. And then he goes on saying, comma, again, they're going to be talking to you. They're going to come in my name. They're going to come saying that they're authorized, and they're going to say this to you, saying, I am Christ, semicolon. Now, the semicolon, what it represents is that what comes after this statement or these words are directly related to what comes before. In other words, it's a description. In other words, it's telling you what these individuals are going to do, and shall deceive many. So what he's saying here, I'm going to read it all together. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying that he's Christ, and shall deceive many. He's saying right here in the book that not that somebody going to come and say they're Christ, they're going to come and tell you he's Christ, and they're going to be lying to you, and they will deceive many, and they have deceived many. You don't have to accept what I'm saying. Go study the English language and how this is put together, and you will see for yourself. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions or comments?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready. Come on. We here.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
Just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Says Mary was a virgin. She did not have sex with Joseph. Joseph was not his father. Okay.
Okay, hold on. I know. Let me, before you respond, let me say this, just for you. I don't know if you have any children or not, particularly any daughters. And since the Bible itself states that there's nothing new under the sun, if you believe that a virgin, a woman who is a virgin, who has never had conjugal relations, can have a baby, then if your daughter or someone else's daughter was, I don't know, let's say, coming home from the mall, all right, and she got home and told you this story. She said, well, I was coming home from the mall, and I was walking past this beautiful garden, and a voice said to me, be not afraid. I'm going to give you a child. What you have is of the Holy Ghost, so be not afraid. Now, she's a virgin. She never had no conjugal relations with nobody. So she comes home to you and says to you, mother or father, I have something to tell you. I was walking home from the mall, and a voice came to me and told me to be not afraid, because I was going to be with child, even though no man has ever touched me. We just read that in the Quran, and like I say, from the what you're stating, and you may not be familiar with the Quran, but the child would make this statement and say that, and then go on to say, so see, I'm pregnant, but what I have is of the Holy Ghost. Well, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in one of his lectures, you would beat that child from sunup to sundown because you know in your heart no woman can conceive a child without the agency of a man. God did not produce a universe like that. But I'm going to stop right now. Queen Aziza, is there anyone on the phone that maybe has something to say? Or?
Yes, sir. Hold on. Oh, it's a lot of people from St. Louis. So the last four numbers, 4633. Last four numbers, St. Louis, 4633.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Is that my brother Dean?
Yes, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, soldier.
Wa alaykum salam. First and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. I just want to comment on the one caller that said that Joseph was not the father of Jesus.
Well, yes,
if you go read in the book of Romans, it said Jesus was the seed of David according to the flesh.
Come on.
But he declared to be God according to holiness. And if you go and read your scripture, your Bible, we read it, but you don't understand it. When the Jews came to Jesus, they threw up in his face, "Is this the carpenter's son?" Well, God ain't no damn carpenter. He was a master builder. Joseph was a carpenter. Then they threw up in his face, "We're not born of fornication," because Joseph was married to another woman. But we all know how old love sneaks back in. So Joseph was the father of Jesus. It's right there in your scriptures. And it sounds like to me the subject of the matter is whether Jesus of 2,000 years ago was in fact the Messiah, or, you know, is we're looking for Jesus of 2,000 years ago. But Jesus of 2,000 years ago, he tells you in the scripture, you shall. He said, you shall know the truth. Shall is a future, meaning at a future time. He said, there are many things that I can tell you, but you cannot bear it now, meaning that you don't even have the foundation or knowledge or experience to share with you what I know. But he said, when he is come, the spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. So right there, Jesus is talking there. There's one coming after me. I'm just a sign. So that tells you right there that Jesus of 2,000 years ago was not the Christ. He was telling you that one is coming after me. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir.
And thank you, Brother Gene, for that. Also, when you read the book of Matthew and you go, you start at the very first verse, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it goes through and gives you the lineage, the bloodline of Jesus, all the way down. And here it says, and I'm not going to read the entire lineage, but we're going to, if you start in verse 16, it says, and Jacob, see this, now it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So that's telling you this is Jesus' lineage. This is how he's related to David and to Abraham. It says, Abraham begat Isaac. That's the second verse. But then when you come down here to the 16th verse, it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So even in his lineage, in his genealogy, it shows you in the Bible that Joseph is his father. So again, we're not here to cast aspersion on anyone's quote-unquote belief system. However, again, I will ask you to think, where did you get this information from? Who did you get it from? Who taught you this? And if you say, well, it was my pastor, my pastor's black, who licensed him or her? Again, anyone that will not treat you right is not going to teach you right. And ultimately, all the information that most of us have on Jesus is from our former slave masters. You may not think that makes a difference, but it has to make a difference, because why are we, after over 100 years of so-called freedom, in the condition we are in as a people? So, Brother Reginald, you there?
Sir, yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. I just want to make sure you're there. Queen Aziza.
I'm here, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. I know it takes you a minute because you be on mute. There's no file. Okay, next one.
Okay.
Hey.
Lawrence says, why Elijah Muhammad changed the history about Jesus, but Muslims today say they love Jesus. Okay.
Well, you seem like you want to say something, and you know you're welcome. you know you're welcome.
Well, I mean, I got a cough over here, but I mean, you know, but just how can I put it?
Mm-hmm.
To have the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad are indeed a blessing.
Yes, ma'am.
But it amazes me how we are so fast to absorb the misguidings and the misteachings of the Caucasian people. But when someone comes to us for our benefit, then everything is questionable. That is another sign of slavitude or servitude or whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
But the thing about it is that you don't, if you would just read it, the true history of Jesus by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and read your Bible, it would make sense to you what he is saying, because what he has said has come into fruition. All of the credits that they have given Jesus 2,000 years ago are not due unto him. Not to say that we don't love and appreciate Jesus of 2,000 years ago. Of course we do, because he stands as a perfect example for us. But just because you admire somebody, just because you choose to worship somebody, then worship them in truth. And Jesus of 2,000 years ago would be mighty, mighty angry and upset with people for worshiping him when that was not the instruction. The instruction was to follow him. Well, how are you going to follow somebody of 2,000 years ago? By their living example, and all of the things that they said that Jesus was to do, he did not do in his 33 to 36 year reign. So then there was one to come after him. And the word Christ means crusher. It means that he comes to stomp out, wipe away, do away with, eliminate, eradicate, whatever words you want to use, all of those injustices is done by the people who are contrary to God. Now, if Jesus Christ of 2,000 years ago had done that, then we would not be in the condition that we are in today. So he is not that one that has come to destroy the enemy of God, but he served as a sign. He was a warner to the hypocrites. He was a warner to the sinners. He was a warner to us who have the desire to do right. He was a warner in his time. And that was it. You can't take no more from him, and you can't give no more to him. That was it. Because of all of the things that we see in the Bible, then if we really, really read and understand that 75% of it is really, excuse me, historical.
25%.
You know? And so 20, all of those things that...
Sister, 25% is historical.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, it is. And 75% is prophetic. So
yes,
if
right.
if you really look at it and look at the time and look at what has happened, then you would know, you would be able to identify that Jesus is not the Jesus that is to come. And I don't understand what we're actually reading in the book of Malachi. It says that we will send you Elijah. But every time this man says something, then there's somebody else to come back and say, well, no, well, that's not true. Why? Because the white man told you it wasn't true?
Come on.
The same white man who revised the book titled The Holy Bible. Now, Brother Kareem, Brother Rich, I don't know about y'all, but when I open up a book and the preface says that this book has been revised.
That's right.
That's right.
That it's been changed.
That's right. That's what vision means.
Excuse me. And then most of us read the King James Version of the Bible?
Well, you know,
the
they got new translations now. You got the New World Translation, the New King James New World Translation, the other one, the new one, and the other one we made. You got so many translations now. I mean,
I don't
come on.
Care what translation
it's way
they
more
got.
Than eight.
It,
right.
It don't matter. In the early history of black people being exposed to the Bible, it was the King James
that's right.
Version.
James Version. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
King James, one who would have fit very comfortably in Sodom and Gomorrah.
You mean San Francisco? Oops, I'm sorry.
No, Sodom and Gomorrah.
King James, a man with low morals. King James, a man who had no value for life, let alone black life.
That's right.
It's going to teach you about God.
Imagine that.
But here it is, a black man who had so much more he could have been doing.
That's
been
right.
Standing up for our people in the year of oppression. Now, I'm going to tell you some white folks crazy all by themselves. Don't let them be crazy and broke. Because you know what was going on in 1929. Wasn't that when the stock market crashed? So now
right,
you got some evil
right.
And now angry white folks. And here, in this time, God comes and raises up one from among us. And then that man stands and faces his enemy, faces those who are contrary to Allah with the truth that has been locked away and hidden from us. And then we think we get the King James Version. They say, oh, well, they father shared the Bible with us. No, they didn't. And there's a reason for that, to keep you dumb, deaf, and blind to the truth of God. So they tell you to worship Jesus, a dead man. And I mean no offense. But he died. So, I mean, you know, let's just keep it real, people. You know, I just pray that we all go back and study and understand that look at the time. And I think that's the message that the minister is trying to get across to all of us. It's just look at the time and bear witness to it in Scripture yourself. Bear witness to it for yourself. Nobody has time to be, you know, I'm not trying to pacify anybody anymore. All I'm trying to do is help our people get to a place where they could take a serious look at their lives and turn some of those undesirable things around. You have time if you listen to this radio show, if you listen to it tomorrow, if you listen to it next week, as long as you suck in breath, you got time to turn this thing around because you're only a decision away from salvation or damnation. The choice is yours. But I'm going to tell you something. No black man in the hells of North America back in a time of 1930, I mean, why would you stand up and face your oppressor in that time if you did not have the backing of Almighty God, Allah? Because that's the only thing that kept him. And as it is today with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he is backed by Allah and his Christ because he still stands. Everybody else before him that just tried to stand up for justice, just tried to stand up for freedom and equality, they're gone. But everybody else, they came in the name of politics. Everybody else came in the name of Jesus. But we had one that came in the name of Allah.
Come on now.
And he left us one who still stands in the name of Allah. And Allah has not failed, and neither has the teachers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and neither has the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. As-salamu alaykum.
I just want to, is it okay, Brother Kareem, if I just add a little bit to, add to that, because that's the final answer to the question. I can't add nothing to that. But I think what we have here is the major problem of really understanding the true history of Jesus, because a lot of us think we know it. So the understanding is going to always be tainted as long as you live in spookism. See, because when you live in spookism, you really don't see Jesus as a man, a real man. You see him as a spirit only. You don't see Jesus. I mean, even if I say Jesus, the first image come to your mind is that picture that was at grandma's house of Jesus on that cross, which ain't the way he died, but that's the picture that Michelangelo painted for you of who you looking for and who you worship, which Jesus never told you to worship him, like the sister said. He said, follow me. He ain't say nothing about worship. In fact, that was blasphemed against Jesus, that he was claiming that he was God. That's why he was killed, for blasphemy. That was his ultimate reason for death, blasphemy, claiming he was God, which was a lie. He never said that. He told us to pray, say, our Father. So when we get down out of the spookism of Satan's world, see, Satan is spooky, but he's so real. He wants you to think he's invisible. But Satan is a real man. So why would Jesus come to destroy anything other than a real man and give us examples on how we can destroy it too? How would the Christ come and his work lives after his transition in another man? And you still hear his message evolving into perfection through a man. So we're not a spooky people once you learn the truth. And that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And it even goes further to say, study the ant. For in the studying of an ant, there's much wisdom. So what you're doing, what we're doing now, those of us who don't understand the purpose of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's coming and being raised from among us, then that only means that you have not, you're swinging at a net and swallowing a camel. Because it's at this time, at this period of climatic destruction, you should be wise enough now to know that Satan is a man and Christ is a man. You should be wise enough to know that, because that's what you should be looking for. I ain't putting no color on it. But we all know he was a man with feet of burnished brass. We all know he was a man with hair like lamb's wool. And there's only one nationality like that, the pre-Adamites, the aboriginal people. So once we get out of this spookism, then we can understand the true history of Jesus. But until then and unless we devise a different way of studying the poison book, the King James Version, when we devise in ourselves, not based on nobody else's interpretation, then Almighty God Allah can extract the poison out of it. Because in the Holy Quran, Allah say he going to settle the differences and the misunderstandings between the Christians, the Jews, and the Sabians. It's just a misunderstanding of scripture because you've been spooked out. So once you get rid of that spookism, then you'll be all right. You'll understand even much better. Because like Sister Queen said, we really don't have, you know, that much time to dialogue back and forth about truth right now. We're trying to bring people to truth. I mean, we will entertain it every now and then, but that's not what this nation building is all about. We're all about bringing people to truth, not defending truth. Because, you know, our works, God's works speak for themselves. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you, beloved.
Wa alaykum
as-salam. Let me just say one thing. You know, a lot of people, and I don't, like I said, once again, you know, maybe it's just my tolerance is kind of low today, but let me just say this. A lot of people go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the masjid, you go to the mosque, you go to the synagogue, you go wherever you go. And you have a preacher or an imam or a bishop or rabbi, whatever you have. And this person may or may not have been designated by Allah Almighty to get up and teach a people. But let me say something to you. You rob yourself and you insult Allah anytime you don't go and study and verify for yourself.
Come on.
That's right. That's
don't
right.
Let no preacher, no rabbi, no minister, no nobody tell you something and you can't go back in scripture and verify it for yourself. If he's reading or she's reading from the Holy Quran, the Holy Bible, you need to be able to read from the Holy Quran and the Holy Bible and gather the understanding. And that's how you know when you are being led astray.
Come on.
That's how you know. That's how you verify. We as a people, we have to move past all of that spookism and praying and looking to a man, a mere man, but, you know, as our road to salvation. No, your knowledge of God is your road to salvation. Your establishment
right.
and having a personal relationship with God is your road to salvation. Your obedience to God is your road to salvation. Your duty to God is your road to salvation. How you treat your brother and sister that look at you in the face every day, how you treat those who live with you, how you treat anybody, is your road to salvation or your road to damnation? That's the key. So, yes, we have a natural instinct to tell us what's right and what's wrong. But for those things that you question, then you go into scripture and you verify and you read. And when you read, you can't read even with the mindset of saying, I'm going to read this for the sake of proving somebody wrong. Before you pick up your Quran, before you pick up your Bible, you pray to God for understanding.
Come on.
And you open up those books for the purpose of understanding, not just to come on and say, uh-huh, Brother Kareem lied, uh-huh, Sister Queen lied, uh-huh, Brother Reginald, they lied. No, you pray for understanding, because proving that I'm a lie or proving that Brother Kareem or Brother Reginald are a lie is still not going to get you salvation. The truth is what's going to get you salvation. So that's what you seek. When you read scripture, ask Allah for understanding. People, it is time for us to open our eyes. They are killing our babies every day. People are dying. We just lost our beautiful sister. She wasn't even 40 years old. We just lost this sister. This sister wasn't even married to her brand new husband for a year. We just lost
That's
Brother
right.
Nathaniel Holden Post. He dropped dead doing prayer. And death is going to happen. But what condition do you want to be in when you die?
Righteous.
And are you worthy of the life that you live? Have you served anybody but yourself?
Come on now.
Because Allah did not create you for chaos and mass confusion and destruction. We as a people destroy ourselves every day. When are we going to have some back for ourselves? When are we going to be able to look in the face of one another and say, brother, I love you, sister, I love you, instead of saying, what's up, nigga, and nigga this, and I don't trust that nigga, and I'm going to smoke this nigga? When we going to stop doing that? I don't care about what white folks do. White folks kill white folks too. Mexicans kill Mexicans too. You know, Africans kill Africans too. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about us called African black Americans in the United States of America. You know why? Because we are the children of Israel, whether you know it or not. Accept it or reject it, it don't matter. But we are the children of Israel. We are Allah's chosen people. When Master Farah Muhammad traveled 9,000 miles, he didn't come 9,000 miles because he didn't have nothing to do.
Come on.
He came 9,000 miles for a particular people. And we are that people. And if we don't stand up and show that we are worthy of the life that we have been blessed to live, then Allah is going to kill us along with everything else that displeases him. So now the decision is yours. The minister has told you, you're in the valley of decision. You need to make up your mind. Not next week, not next 5 hours, not next 10 hours, not when you get through smoking that last joint, taking that last drink, or screwing that last broad. No, you need to make up your mind today at this very second, because the next second is not promised to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Teach hard. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That is absolutely 100% correct. Thank you, Queen Aziza. Thank you. Thank you. All right, our time is growing short, so yes, I can let you know right now, we'll be back here next week with part two of the true history of Jesus. We want everybody to join us. We're not done yet. Before we go, I want to share with you from one of the many mighty books by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad entitled Our Savior Has Arrived. It's on page 157. It's chapter 29. It's entitled Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And you can check this out for yourself. The 25th of December is the birthday of Nimrod, the evil demon of the white race, who was born in the last 300 years of the civilization of Moses, 17th century B.C. From Moses to Jesus, there were many minor prophets, and there were many wicked rulers. Jesus came warning the white race that if they did not accept the truth of their coming doom, it would come to them in a day that they would not be aware of. The deceitful theologians and writers of Christianity, along with their chief, the Pope of Rome, know the truth, but yet have deceived the people as to the knowledge of the truth by deceiving them to worship an evil demon like Nimrod. They have the history of Nimrod with them, and they use him under the name of Jesus to deceive the people to make them believe that the 25th of December was Jesus' birthday. And in this way, they would have the world worshiping this wicked, evil demon, Nimrod, for all but perfect prophet Jesus. But Jesus was not born in December. God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, has taught me that his birthday took place between the first and second weeks of September, and that no one knows exactly what day he was born, for it was a secret kept between Joseph and Mary to save them both from being murdered by getting a baby out of wedlock. The real truth that the Christians hate to confess is that Joseph had gotten the child, Jesus, by Mary while he was married to another woman, and at that time had 6 children by the first marriage. So Master Farid Muhammad, God in person, has taught me. The Christians portrayed Joseph as someone taking care of a pregnant woman while he had nothing to do with the pregnancy of Mary. But let us think sanely, as the Bible teaches us that Mary was put in the care of Joseph. How could the theologians of the Bible write that the woman met Joseph to assure him that he does not have to fear taking Mary into marriage, for that which she is pregnant with is not from man, it is from God, the Holy Ghost? And how could Joseph accept such an excuse for Mary's pregnancy when he had not the knowledge of any woman in the history of man being found pregnant with a Holy Ghost son? For ghost means something that does not exist. Instead, the theologians who wrote the history of Jesus and Mary should have used such words as the child that Mary is pregnant with is a holy child or a prophet. And you, Joseph, are the father of this prophet, and you should not fear accepting her and accepting the truth that you are the father of the child that Mary is pregnant with, because the child will be the last prophet to the white race, Jews. This would have made sense. Allah and the person of Master Farid Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, had taught me that this woman, whom the Bible mentions, told Joseph to his face that he was the father of the child that she was pregnant with, and not the false teachings of the Bible that Jesus was something of a Holy Ghost and not flesh and blood. The theologians got this from the Jews, who also accused Joseph of being the father of the child, and that he made Mary pregnant by visiting her under the cover of darkness. The Jews charged him with acting like a ghost and visiting her under the cover of darkness and making Mary pregnant. Joseph and Mary had promised to marry when they were going to school at the age of 6, and they were separated. Since Joseph was a poor man and Mary's father was a rich man, he refused to give Mary over to Joseph when he became a man, and Joseph went and married another woman and had been married to her for 6 years and had 6 children by this wife. When the opportunity came that he could visit Mary, as she called him and told him of the opportunity, he made good of it. Then the love they had for each other when they were little sprang anew again while they were alone together in the absence of Mary's father, and this act took place. So Allah, in the person of Master Farid Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, taught me. And I will say this as we're wrapping it up. Again, you don't have to believe what we say. Go and research it for yourself. Please, dear people, come out of your emotional attachment to what your former slave master's children have taught you. Come out of your emotional attachment, because that's what it is. You're attached to what they've given you emotionally, and begin to think. I'll say it again. Someone who will not treat you right will not teach you right. And so on that note, Queen Aziza, if we can get the lineup for the rest of the week.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I want to say one more thing, Brother Kareem, right quick, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
You know, just that part that Brother Kareem just read serves as another example, because Jesus was conceived out of love. And if Mary had made up her mind that if she could not have Joseph, that she was going to remain unmarried because that was the only man that she loved, Jesus was conceived out of love. And Jesus became a figurement, if you would, of a God. He came into the world and he did great works amongst his people. And that is the kind of love and commitment that it takes for us to even have children with one another. So now, using that example of Jesus, you see what happens when a man doesn't love the woman who he bears children by. There they're not always the best of children, and they don't always come up under the best of circumstances, and they're not exposed to the best of things because they're not loved. And when the mother is dissatisfied because the father is not there, or the mother never loved the father, whatever the case may be, then that's a different child produced under a very harsh and lustful circumstance.